The Silent Game. Chapter 1. The First Card. The city of Blackridge had always been a study in contrasts. A glittering skyline casting shadows over forgotten alleys, opulence thriving beside decay. Detective Gabriel Voss had walked these streets for 20 years, his trench coat absorbing the city's grime, his mind attuned to its darkest corners. But nothing could prepare him for what waited in the cavernous silence of the Blackridge Theater. The victim lay on the center stage, illuminated by the pale glow of an overhead spotlight. Her body was posed, hands crossed over her chest as if resting, but her eyes, frozen in terror, told a different story. Blood streaked her white blouse, forming a grotesque contrast against the crimson pool beneath her. On her chest lay a single playing card, the Jack of Hearts. Scrawled across the card in shaky, almost childlike handwriting were the words, "Truth is a blade, sharpened in the dark." "Jesus Christ," Voss muttered, crouching down to study the card. His partner, Detective Erica Shaw, stood behind him, her arms crossed tightly as if bracing herself against the sight. "Third one in 2 months," Shaw said. Her voice was steady, but her clenched jaw betrayed her unease. "Same setup. Same card. Different symbol." Voss didn't respond immediately. He felt the weight of the crime scene pressing on him, the eerie silence of the theater amplifying his thoughts. The Jack of Hearts wasn't just a clue. It was a challenge. The forensic team worked quietly, photographing the body and collecting evidence while Voss scanned the surrounding area. The stage was littered with props from past performances, worn-out costumes, faded backdrops, and dusty chairs. But nothing stood out, nothing screamed, "Why here?" "Notice something?" Shaw asked, breaking his focus. Voss straightened, holding up the card in a gloved hand. "The handwriting. It's different this time. Look at the curves in the letters." Almost hesitant, "You think it means something?" "It always does." Voss pocketed the card in an evidence bag and turned to the lead forensic tech, a wiry man named Carl. "Anything else unusual?" Carl gestured toward the victim's wrists. "Ligature marks. She was restrained, but there's no sign of a struggle. Either she was unconscious or..." "She didn't fight back," Voss finished grimly. He turned to Shaw. "Run her ID. Let's find out who she is." The victim was identified as Sarah Greaves, a 29-year-old journalist for the Blackridge Gazette. Her editor described her as ambitious, a woman who wouldn't back down from a story, no matter the danger. It didn't take long for Voss to uncover her latest project, a deep dive into corruption within Blackridge's elite. She was digging into some powerful names, Shaw said as they sat in the precinct's cramped office. The walls were lined with crime scene photos and newspaper clippings. Real estate moguls, politicians, even a few dirty cops. Voss leaned back in his chair, tapping a pen against his palm. "The question is, did she get too close to something, or is this about something else entirely?" Later that night, Voss sat alone at his desk, the Jack of Hearts lying before him. The words scrawled across it seemed to pulse in the dim light of his desk lamp. "Truth is a blade, sharpened in the dark." He couldn't shake the feeling that this case was personal, though he didn't know why. His mind wandered to the past, to a time when he had failed, when a woman had died because he hadn't been fast enough, smart enough. The memory gnawed at him, threatening to resurface. Suddenly, his phone buzzed. An anonymous text flashed on the screen. "You're looking in the wrong places, detective. The truth is closer than you think." Voss's blood ran cold. Whoever had sent the message wasn't just watching him. They were ahead of him. Chapter 2, A Shadow's Game. The night was heavy with an unnatural stillness as Detective Gabriel Voss drove through the deserted streets of Blackridge. The text message from the unknown sender replayed in his mind like a broken record. "You're looking in the wrong places, detective. The truth is closer than you think." Whoever had sent it wasn't just taunting him. They were steering him towards something. But what? And why? His car rolled to a stop outside Sarah Greaves's apartment building. It was a modest brick structure with a cracked facade, perched on the edge of a neighborhood teetering between gentrification and neglect. The kind of place where shadows felt alive. The landlord, a grizzled old man with nicotine-stained fingers, had reluctantly given Voss the keys. "She wasn't home much," he had grumbled. "Always out late, writing or chasing her stories." Inside, Sarah's apartment was a time capsule of her life. The walls were lined with bookshelves overflowing with titles about investigative journalism, political corruption, and human psychology. Her desk was a chaotic spread of notepads, sticky notes, and folders, with a laptop sitting at the center like a shrine. Voss's eyes landed on a corkboard pinned with articles and photographs. Strings of red yarn connected seemingly unrelated people and places. Politicians, businessmen, construction sites, and an enigmatic name scrawled on a post-it. The Solstice Project. What the hell were you working on, Sarah? Voss murmured. As he flipped through Sarah's notes, his phone buzzed again. This time, the text was a single line. Check the third drawer. His pulse quickened. Whoever was texting him wasn't just watching. They knew exactly where he was. Voss scanned the room, his hand instinctively hovering near his holstered gun. The shadows remained still, but the unease gnawed at him. He pulled open the third drawer of the desk. Inside was a single envelope marked confidential. The papers within detailed something explosive. Records of payoffs, offshore accounts, and a mysterious corporation tied to some of Blackridge's most powerful figures. The name at the center of it all, Solstice Holdings. A noise from the hallway broke his focus, a faint creak, almost imperceptible. Voss froze, his senses sharpening. He drew his gun and moved toward the door, his footsteps silent. The hallway was empty, but the faint scent of cologne lingered in the air, sharp and unfamiliar. Back at the precinct, Voss spread Sarah's notes across the conference table. Shaw joined him, a steaming cup of coffee in hand. Find anything useful? She asked. Useful doesn't begin to cover it, Voss replied, sliding the Solstice Holdings documents toward her. This is a bomb waiting to go off. Offshore accounts, money laundering, bribes, it's all here. Shaw skimmed the papers, her brow furrowing. This is big. But what does it have to do with her murder? I think she stumbled onto something she wasn't supposed to see, Voss said. And whoever's behind this wanted her silenced. Or, Shaw countered, she wasn't the target. What if this is about something else entirely? A warning, maybe? Before Voss could respond, another text buzzed his phone. You don't have much time. Follow the red thread. What the hell does that mean? Shaw asked, reading over his shoulder. It means someone's playing with us, Voss said, his jaw tightening. But deep down, he knew the message was meant for him alone. The following day, a new victim was discovered. This time, the scene was even more gruesome. A local real estate agent found hanging in her office, her body staged like a macabre puppet. The Queen of Spades was pinned to her chest with a dagger, the riddle scrawled across it. The closest hand will cut the deepest. Shaw's voice was grim as she read the words aloud. What does that even mean? It means, Voss said, studying the scene, the killer wants us to think the people closest to the victims can't be trusted. Or, they're telling us to look closer at the people around us. He turned toward the forensic team. Any connections between her and Sarah Greaves? Nothing obvious yet, Carl replied. Different professions, different social circles. We're still digging. Voss's instincts screamed otherwise. There had to be a link, something subtle, something they weren't seeing yet. And the text messages. Whoever was sending them clearly knew more than they were letting on. That night, Voss sat in his darkened apartment, the Queen of Spades and its riddle haunting him. The shadows on his walls seemed to move, morphing into shapes that reminded him of the crime scenes. He poured himself a drink, hoping to drown the unease, but it only sharpened his focus. His phone buzzed again. This time, the message was an address. Midnight. Come alone. Voss stared at the screen, torn between the instinct to follow the lead and the knowledge that he might be walking into a trap. But as he glanced at the Queen of Spades, a realization struck him. The closest hand will cut the deepest. Whoever this killer was, they weren't just targeting victims. They were targeting him. Chapter 3. Whispers from the Dark. The address from the midnight text led Detective Gabriel Voss to an abandoned shipping yard on the outskirts of Blackridge. The air was thick with the salty tang of the nearby ocean, and the faint hum of distant machinery added to the oppressive silence. Voss parked his car just outside the rusted gates, his headlights cutting through the mist, and stepped out, his hand resting on his holstered weapon. The yard was a labyrinth of towering shipping containers, their peeling paint and corroded locks telling tales of years forgotten. The message had been clear. Midnight. Come alone. Voss had no backup, no partner, and no idea what he was walking into. But he couldn't ignore the nagging sense that this was part of the silhouette's game. The faint glow of a lantern flickered in the distance, drawing Voss like a moth to a flame. His footsteps were muffled by the gravel underfoot as he moved closer, his senses sharp, every nerve in his body on edge. The light emanated from inside a container with its doors slightly ajar, casting an eerie glow onto the ground. Pushing the doors open with his gun drawn, Voss found himself staring at a scene that was both macabre and intimate. A chair sat in the center of the container, facing a corkboard cluttered with photographs, newspaper clippings, and maps of the city. Each photo was of a different woman, the victims, posed in moments of life and laughter, their joy preserved in stark contrast to their grisly deaths. Pinned to the center of the board was another playing card, the King of Hearts. Scrawled across it in the same haunting handwriting was a single line. "The heart beats loudest when it's afraid." "Clever," Voss muttered, pocketing the card. As he scanned the photos, his phone buzzed again. This time it wasn't a text, it was a call. The number was blocked. He hesitated before answering. "Voss." A distorted voice crackled on the line, its tone chillingly calm. "You're getting warmer, detective. But the truth is still so far away. Who is this?" Voss demanded, his voice sharp. "You already know me," the voice replied, almost taunting. "I've been waiting for this moment. For you." The line went dead, leaving Voss gripping the phone tightly. The air inside the container seemed to thicken, the walls closing in around him. He knew he should call Shaw, alert the team, but something held him back, a gut feeling that this was meant to be his fight alone. Hours later, back at the precinct, Voss and Shaw pored over the evidence gathered from the container. The photos, the playing card, the cryptic voice call, it all felt like pieces of a puzzle he couldn't quite assemble. "This bastard is obsessed with you," Shaw said, her frustration evident. "It's not just about the victims anymore. It's personal. Tell me something I don't know," Voss muttered, rubbing his temples. The pieces refused to fit together, and the weight of the case was suffocating. Shaw leaned back, staring at the corkboard they'd recreated in the precinct's war room. "What if it's not about the women at all? What if they're just bait?" Voss stopped pacing. "Bait for what?" "For you," Shaw said, her voice low. "Think about it. Every message, every clue, it's all meant to lead you somewhere. This isn't just a murder spree, it's a goddamn game." The next morning, a new victim was discovered in the upscale neighborhood of Crestwood Heights. This time, the scene was chillingly precise. The body of a young schoolteacher, posed elegantly in a clawfoot bathtub filled with rose petals. The ace of clubs rested on her chest, its riddle reading, "The most beautiful lies are whispered in the dark." Voss stood over the scene, his stomach churning. The killer wasn't just escalating. They were perfecting their craft. The choice of victim, the staging, the cryptic message, it all pointed to someone who reveled in control. "We've got something," Carl called from the other room. Voss followed him to the kitchen, where a faint smudge of blood marked the edge of the counter. Underneath, tucked in a crack, was a small slip of paper with a single word written on it, "Solstice." Later that evening, Voss sat in his apartment, staring at the word. Solstice. It had been in Sarah Greaves's notes, tied to offshore accounts and corruption. Now it was here, left at the scene of another murder. But what was the connection? He reached for the file Shaw had compiled on the victims, flipping through their backgrounds. On the surface, they seemed unconnected, different professions, different social circles. But as he studied the details, a pattern began to emerge. Each woman had, at some point, worked for or been linked to companies under the umbrella of Solstice Holdings. "This can't be a coincidence," Voss muttered, scribbling connections onto his notepad. His phone buzzed again. Another text, another cryptic taunt. "You're closer than you think. But are you ready to face the truth?" Voss stared at the message, his pulse quickening. The words felt like a dare, a challenge he couldn't ignore. He was on the verge of something big, but the deeper he went, the more dangerous the game became. Voss couldn't shake the feeling that he was being watched. Even in the confines of his apartment, the shadows seemed to stretch longer, darker, more alive. He pulled back the curtain slightly, peering into the empty street outside. Nothing moved, yet the unease lingered. He returned to his desk, spreading out the files, photos, and notes until they covered every surface. He mapped the connections on a large piece of paper, tracing each victim back to Solstice Holdings. The tangled web of links was messy but undeniable. Sarah Greaves had been investigating Solstice before her death. The real estate agent from the second crime scene had sold properties exclusively developed by Solstice subsidiaries. And now the teacher, Emily Marlowe, had recently left a consulting job for a company funded by Solstice's offshore accounts. Solstice wasn't just a coincidence. It was the thread tying everything together. The puzzle deepens. Voss's laptop pinged, pulling his attention to the screen. He had requested a deeper dive into Solstice Holdings through the precinct's cybercrime unit. The results were staggering. CEO unknown. Solstice Holdings operated through shell companies and front organizations, masking its leadership. Primary investors, a mix of anonymous accounts and private equity firms, all routed through tax havens. Recent activity, financial transfers to small businesses across Blackridge, businesses connected to the victims. Voss's stomach turned. Solstice wasn't just laundering money. It was a puppet master pulling strings in the city's darkest corners. A mysterious ally. A knock at the door jolted Voss from his thoughts. He grabbed his gun instinctively and approached cautiously. Peering through the peephole, he saw a woman standing there, tall, with sharp features and piercing green eyes. She was unfamiliar, but something about her seemed calculated. Voss opened the door slightly, keeping the chain on. "Who are you?" "My name is Lila Kane," she said, her voice steady but urgent. "I know what you're looking for, detective. I can help." Voss studied her for a moment, weighing her intentions. "How do you know what I'm looking for?" Lila pulled a folder from her bag and slid it through the gap. "Because I've been chasing Solstice longer than you have." Voss closed the door, removed the chain, and let her in, still keeping his hand near his weapon. "Start talking." The enigma of Lila Kane. Lila's story was as intriguing as it was suspicious. She claimed to be a private investigator who had been following Solstice's trail for years. According to her, Solstice wasn't just a corporation. It was a syndicate with a long history of manipulating cities like Blackridge. "They move in the shadows," Lila explained, spreading her own documents across the table. "They fund corrupt politicians, buy out law enforcement, and eliminate anyone who gets in their way." "And the victims?" Voss asked. "They're not random," she said. "They all had access to something Solstice wanted to keep hidden. Sarah Greaves? She was about to publish a story exposing Solstice's offshore accounts. Emily Marlowe? She found discrepancies in Solstice's funding while consulting for them. The real estate agent? She uncovered illegal zoning deals tied to Solstice properties." Voss frowned, his mind racing. "Why come to me? Why now?" "Because you're the only one they can't buy," Lila said, her gaze piercing. "But you're also their biggest threat. The murders aren't just to silence people, they're a message. They want you to stop. A deadly warning." Before Voss could respond, his phone buzzed again. Another text. This one was different. "Leave her out of this, or she's next." He turned the screen toward Lila. "Looks like they know about you." "I expected as much," she said, her composure unshaken. "But I'm not backing down." Voss admired her resolve, but the text was a clear escalation. Whoever was behind Solstice, and the murders, was watching his every move. The killer's next move. The next morning, a chilling discovery sent shockwaves through the precinct. Another victim had been found. This time a young barista who had once worked for a coffee chain owned by a Solstice subsidiary. The scene was grotesque. Her body hung from a bridge, her arms outstretched like a grotesque angel. The playing card pinned to her chest was the Ten of Diamonds, its riddle reading. "Even angels fall when the truth is too heavy to bear." Voss arrived at the scene, his jaw tight. The killer was accelerating, their messages growing darker and more personal. "This is getting out of hand," Shaw said, her voice laced with frustration. "We need to take this to the media, put pressure on Solstice." "No," Voss said firmly. "If we push them into a corner, more people will die." Shaw sighed, but she didn't argue. Voss knew she was right, but the stakes were too high to risk a misstep. A glimpse into the abyss. That night, Voss and Lila worked tirelessly in his apartment, piecing together the clues. The more they uncovered, the clearer it became that Solstice was more than a corporation. It was a cult of control, with its leaders wielding power through fear and manipulation. But as they worked, Voss couldn't shake the feeling that they were being watched. The shadows outside his window seemed to shift, and the faint hum of the city felt louder than usual. Lila noticed his unease. "They're testing you," she said quietly. "They want to see how far you'll go." Voss stared at her, the weight of the case pressing down on him. "Then let's show them." Chapter 4, The Spider's Web. The air inside the precinct's war room was suffocating. Every wall was plastered with evidence. Photos of victims, maps of Blackridge with pins marking murder sites, strings of red yarn connecting seemingly unrelated people and places. At the center of it all was a name, Solstice Holdings. Detective Gabriel Voss stared at the board, his mind working through the puzzle. Lila Kane sat across from him, her sharp eyes scanning documents with a precision that made her seem more like a surgeon than a private investigator. "What are we missing?" Voss muttered, his voice edged with frustration. There's something tying all of this together, something we're not seeing. Lila leaned back, her gaze thoughtful. Maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. Instead of focusing on the victims, we need to focus on the killer. What do they gain from this? Why these specific people? They're sending a message, Voss said. But who's it really for? The city? Me? Or someone higher up? The discovery. Shaw entered the room, her expression grim. We got a hit on one of the offshore accounts Sarah Greaves was investigating. It's been funneled into a nonprofit called the Haven Initiative. Lila frowned. That's supposed to be a charity for at-risk youth. What does it have to do with Solstice? Everything, Shaw said, dropping a folder onto the table. The Haven Initiative is a front. Solstice uses it to launder money and recruit people for, well, we don't know what yet. But it's dirty. Voss scanned the documents, his stomach sinking. The name of the nonprofit's director jumped out at him, Elias Mercer. The name wasn't unfamiliar. Mercer was a former councilman turned philanthropist with a sterling public reputation. Elias Mercer, Voss murmured. He's been in bed with Solstice this whole time. Lila's eyes narrowed. And he's connected to the victims? Indirectly, Shaw said. Mercer's name shows up in the background of all their lives. Sarah wrote a story on one of his initiatives. Emily worked for one of his subsidiaries. Even the barista. Her coffee shop catered an event Mercer sponsored. It's not coincidence, Voss said, his jaw tightening. Mercer's at the center of this. Either he's the killer, or he knows who is. The confrontation. That night, Voss and Lila tracked Mercer to a private fundraiser in Blackridge's most exclusive neighborhood. The sprawling estate was a fortress of wealth, with security stationed at every entrance. Voss flashed his badge, and after a tense exchange, they were allowed inside. The event was opulent, crystal chandeliers, silk tablecloths, and an orchestra playing softly in the background. Mercer stood near the bar, schmoozing with the city's elite. He was a tall, charismatic man with a polished smile that didn't quite reach his eyes. Detective Voss, Mercer said smoothly when they approached. To what do I owe the pleasure? Voss didn't mince words. We need to talk. Privately. Mercer's smile faltered for a fraction of a second, but he recovered quickly. Of course. Follow me. He led them to a quiet study, the walls lined with leather-bound books and expensive art. Mercer poured himself a drink and gestured for them to sit. Voss remained standing. You've been linked to every victim in a string of murders, Voss said, his tone sharp. Your name keeps popping up in places it shouldn't. Mercer's expression didn't change, but there was a flicker of something in his eyes. Annoyance? Amusement? I'm a public figure, detective. My name is bound to appear in a lot of places. Not like this, Lila cut in, her voice icy. We know about Solstice Holdings. We know about the Haven Initiative. How long have you been laundering money for them? And how far does this go? Mercer took a sip of his drink, his calm demeanor unnerving. You're making dangerous accusations. I'd advise you to tread carefully. This isn't advice, Voss snapped. This is a warning. If you're involved in this, I'll bring you down. Mercer chuckled, the sound low and condescending. You don't know what you're dealing with, detective. Solstice isn't something you can stop. It's bigger than you, bigger than me. Then tell me who's behind it, Voss demanded. Mercer set his glass down, his smile vanishing. You don't want to know. The trap. As they left the fundraiser, Voss couldn't shake the feeling that Mercer had been playing them. The man wasn't rattled, he was confident. Too confident. Did you see his face when you mentioned Solstice? Lila said. He's hiding something big. He's not just hiding it, Voss replied. He's protecting it. His phone buzzed as they reached the car. Another text, this one with an address. Come alone. Midnight. Attached was a photo, a woman tied to a chair, her face bloodied and bruised. Voss's heart stopped. It was Shaw. They have her, he whispered. The midnight showdown. The address led Voss to an abandoned warehouse on the edge of the industrial district. The air was thick with the stench of oil and decay, and the faint hum of distant machinery added to the oppressive silence. He stepped inside, his gun drawn, his heart pounding. Shaw was tied to a chair in the center of the room, her head slumped forward. A figure stood in the shadows behind her, their face obscured by a hood. In one hand, they held a playing card, the King of Clubs. Welcome, detective, the figure said, their voice distorted. You've done well to make it this far. Let her go, Voss growled, his gun trained on the figure. The figure chuckled, a chilling sound that echoed through the cavernous space. Oh, detective, this isn't about her. It's about you. It's always been about you. They dropped the card onto the floor, its riddle scrawled in blood. The truth cuts deepest when it's personal. Before Voss could react, the figure stepped back into the shadows, disappearing into the darkness. The lights flickered, and when they stabilized, the figure was gone. The revelation. Shaw was alive but shaken. As Voss untied her, she whispered, "They knew everything about me. About us. This isn't just a killer, Gabe. It's something bigger." Voss nodded, his mind racing. The game was far from over, and the stakes had never been higher. Chapter 5. Into the Abyss. The night after the warehouse standoff was sleepless for Detective Gabriel Voss. The image of Shaw tied to the chair, bloodied and vulnerable, was etched into his mind. She had been too close to the truth, and now the line between hunter and hunted was razor thin. Whoever orchestrated these murders wasn't just taunting him. They were dismantling his world piece by piece. His phone buzzed, breaking his train of thought. Shaw's name flashed on the screen. She was recovering at home, but the weight of the investigation hadn't left her voice. "You need to hear this," she said without preamble. "The forensic team found something at the warehouse." "What is it?" "Blood. Not mine. It matches an unsolved case from 3 years ago." Voss gripped the phone tighter. "Which case?" "The Watson murders. A family wiped out in their home. No suspects, no motive, no leads. Until now." Voss felt the cold hand of dread grip his spine. The Watson case had been one of the most haunting in Blackridge's history. A slaughter so calculated it felt almost ritualistic. The connection to Solstice made one thing clear. This wasn't about money anymore. This was personal. The return to the shadows. With Shaw temporarily sidelined, Voss returned to the precinct alone. He needed to revisit the Watson case files. The murder of the Watson family had been brutal. Two parents and their teenage daughter, slaughtered in the dead of night. The only survivor had been their youngest son, a boy named Daniel Watson, who had vanished from the foster system shortly after the killings. Flipping through the dusty files, Voss found a photo of the boy. He had pale eyes and an unsettling expression that seemed older than his years. Something about the picture stuck with him, a gnawing feeling he couldn't shake. "Where are you, Daniel?" Voss muttered. The question felt heavier than it should. He scribbled a note to check the foster records and pushed the file aside, focusing on Solstice. The web of connections between the victims, the murders, and the corporation grew more tangled with every revelation. And yet, there was still no clear answer to the biggest question. Why? A cryptic lead. Lila Kane arrived at the precinct unannounced, carrying a sealed envelope. Her presence had become a constant in Voss's life, though he couldn't decide if it was reassuring or unnerving. "This came to me this morning," she said, dropping the envelope onto his desk. It had no return address, only Voss's name scrawled across the front in the same eerie handwriting as the playing cards. Inside was a single photograph, a dilapidated building on the outskirts of Blackridge. Written on the back were three words. "The answers wait. What is this?" Voss asked, holding up the photo. "It's an old orphanage," Lila said. "Closed down years ago after a scandal. Abuse, corruption, missing kids, the usual horrors. And now it's connected to all of this?" Voss asked. "Seems so," Lila replied. "The question is why? The orphanage." The building in the photograph was more ominous than Voss had anticipated. Its windows were shattered, its walls covered in graffiti, and the surrounding grounds were overgrown with weeds. The sign out front still bore its name, though the letters were faded, Blackridge Children's Home. Voss and Lila moved cautiously through the darkened halls, their flashlights casting eerie shadows on the walls. The air was heavy with the stench of mold and decay. Old toys and broken furniture littered the floor, remnants of a forgotten past. "This place gives me the creeps," Lila muttered, stepping over a decayed doll. Voss didn't respond. His focus was on the faint sound of something rustling deeper in the building. He motioned for Lila to stay close as they followed the noise to a large room at the end of the hall. Inside, the walls were covered in crude drawings and strange symbols, some painted in what looked disturbingly like blood. At the center of the room was a table with a single object on it, a playing card. The Ace of Hearts. Scrawled across it was the riddle. "What's lost can never be found, but it can still be remembered." A haunting revelation. The drawings on the walls were disturbing in their detail. Figures standing in circles, shadowy shapes looming over children, and a recurring motif, a black sun. Voss's flashlight lingered on one image in particular. A crude representation of a family with their faces scratched out, save for one, a boy with pale eyes. "That's Daniel Watson," Lila said, her voice barely above a whisper. How do you know? Voss asked. Because I've seen that face before, she replied. In Sarah Greaves's notes. She was investigating him before she died. The pieces began to fall into place, each one darker than the last. Daniel Watson wasn't just a survivor. He was a key to the entire mystery. But where was he now? And what was his connection to Solstice? The trap tightens. As they left the orphanage, Voss's phone buzzed again. Another text, this one with a video attachment. He opened it cautiously, his heart sinking as the footage played. It was a live feed of Lila's apartment. The camera panned across the room, lingering on her belongings before focusing on a message scrawled across the wall in red. You're not as alone as you think. Lila leaned over his shoulder, her face pale. They were in my home. They're watching all of us, Voss said, his voice tight. This isn't just a game anymore. They're escalating. He clenched his fists, the weight of the case pressing down on him. The killer wasn't just targeting random victims. They were dismantling lives, one thread at a time. And now it was personal. Chapter 6, Beneath the Surface. The morning after the haunting discovery at the orphanage, Detective Gabriel Voss stood on the balcony of his apartment, staring at the city below. Blackridge's skyline felt suffocating, its sprawling chaos a reflection of his unraveling case. The lines between victim, suspect, and shadowy conspirator blurred in his mind, and the weight of every unsolved clue hung heavily on his shoulders. His phone buzzed, jolting him back to the present. It was Shaw, her voice still hoarse but steady. I found something, she said. It's about Daniel Watson, uncovering Daniel's trail. At the precinct, Shaw laid out her findings on the conference table. It was a mix of social services reports, police files, and newspaper clippings, all tied to Daniel Watson's life after the massacre of his family. After the murders, he bounced through foster homes, Shaw explained. But here's the thing. Every family that took him in reported incidents. Fires. Disappearances. Violence. Did they suspect him? Voss asked, scanning the documents. Not officially, Shaw said. But there's more. At 16, he vanished from the system entirely. No records, no sightings, nothing. It's like he dropped off the face of the earth. Voss frowned. Until now. Shaw nodded. If he's connected to Solstice, it's buried deep. But the drawings at the orphanage, the blood on the card, they all point back to him. The meeting. Later that evening, Voss and Lila Kane met in a secluded diner on the outskirts of the city. The tension between them had grown since the discovery of the video in her apartment. Lila was visibly shaken, but her resolve remained intact. You need to leave the city, Voss said bluntly, sipping his coffee. Lila scoffed. Not a chance. I'm not running. This isn't about bravery, Voss replied. It's about survival. Whoever's behind this knows everything about you. Staying here makes you a target. Lila leaned forward, her eyes burning with determination. You think I don't know that? This isn't just your fight, Voss. Sarah Greaves trusted me with this before she died. I'm seeing it through. Voss sighed, recognizing the stubbornness in her tone. He'd heard it in his own voice too many times. Fine, he said. But you follow my lead. No risks, no heroics. A lead emerges. Back at the precinct, Shaw had uncovered another piece of the puzzle. A series of financial transactions linked to Solstice Holdings. The payments were routed through shell companies, ultimately leading to an address in Blackridge's industrial district. It's an abandoned warehouse, Shaw said, pointing to the screen. But it's been active, deliveries, unregistered vehicles, even reports of strange noises. Voss studied the map. What's the connection to Daniel? None directly, Shaw admitted. But if Solstice is using it, it could be a base of operations, or worse. We need to check it out, Voss said, grabbing his coat. Tonight. The warehouse. The warehouse loomed large in the foggy darkness, its broken windows and rusted exterior hiding whatever secrets lay inside. Voss and Shaw moved cautiously, their flashlights cutting through the shadows as they entered the cavernous space. The air was thick with the smell of oil and decay. Rows of crates lined the walls, each marked with the Solstice logo. But it wasn't the crates that caught Voss's attention. It was the makeshift altar in the center of the room. The altar was crude but unmistakable, a wooden table draped with a black cloth, surrounded by candles and symbols painted on the floor. Atop it lay another playing card, the Queen of Diamonds. Its riddle read, "The Queen guards her secrets, but the King will always know." What the hell is this? Shaw whispered, her voice trembling. It's not just a game, Voss muttered. It's a ritual. The trap springs. As they examine the altar, the sound of footsteps echoed through the warehouse. Voss spun around, his gun drawn, but the shadows swallowed everything beyond the reach of his flashlight. "Who's there?" he called out, his voice steady despite the adrenaline surging through him. A distorted voice responded, chilling and calm. "You shouldn't have come here, detective." The lights suddenly flickered and died, plunging the warehouse into darkness. Voss's flashlight cut through the void, but the footsteps grew louder, circling them like predators. "Shaw, stay close." Voss barked, his heart pounding. But when he turned, Shaw was gone. The reckoning. Voss moved through the warehouse, his flashlight casting eerie shadows on the walls. Every step felt like a gamble, every breath a reminder of how deep into the darkness he had ventured. The distorted voice returned, now seeming to come from everywhere at once. "You followed the trail well, detective," it said. "But the answers you seek will destroy you. Show yourself." Voss yelled, his voice echoing. A figure emerged from the shadows, a man with pale eyes and a face that seemed both young and ancient. It was Daniel Watson. "You've been chasing ghosts," Daniel said, his tone cold and detached. "But now you're in my world." Voss leveled his gun at him. "Where's Shaw?" "She's alive," Daniel said. "For now. But you'll have to play my game to save her." The unraveling. Daniel stepped closer, his expression unreadable. "Solstice gave me purpose, detective. They showed me the truth about this city, about people like you." "What truth?" Voss demanded. "That the world doesn't need saviors," Daniel replied. "It needs architects, people who can shape it through fear, through power." Voss's grip tightened on his gun. "You think murder is power? You're a coward hiding behind riddles and shadows." Daniel smiled faintly. "And yet here you are, playing my game." Before Voss could respond, the lights blazed back on, revealing Shaw tied to a chair on the far side of the room. She was unconscious but breathing. Between her and Voss stood three armed men, their faces obscured. "You have a choice," Daniel said, his voice calm. "Save her, or walk away and let the truth die with her." The gambit. Voss didn't hesitate. He fired at the nearest man, the shot echoing like thunder in the warehouse. Chaos erupted as the other two lunged at him, but Voss moved with precision, taking one down with a brutal strike and disarming the other. By the time he reached Shaw, Daniel was gone. "Gabe," Shaw whispered weakly as he untied her. "It's not over." "I know," Voss said grimly. "But I'm ending this." Chapter 7, The Puppet Master. The events of the warehouse haunted Detective Gabriel Voss as he sat in the dim light of his apartment, replaying the confrontation with Daniel Watson over and over in his mind. Shaw was safe, but barely, and the cryptic words Daniel had left behind clung to him like a curse. "The world doesn't need saviors. It needs architects." The phone buzzed, pulling Voss from his thoughts. It was Shaw. "Gabe," she said, her voice still weak. "I found something. It's about Solstice. It's bigger than we thought. A hidden agenda." At the precinct, Shaw laid out the latest discovery. Financial records from Solstice Holdings had revealed a disturbing pattern. Payments made to an anonymous offshore account every time a new victim was killed. The funds weren't just for silencing the victims. They were tied to high-stakes deals with corporations and city officials. "They're using the murders as leverage," Shaw said, her voice grim. "Every time someone dies, they gain more power. Deals go through, investigations get dropped, people stay silent. They're killing to maintain control," Voss said, his mind racing. "And Daniel is their enforcer." "It's not just him," Shaw said. "Look at this." She pointed to a series of names on the documents, all tied to city officials, business leaders, and even law enforcement. "Solstice isn't just a corporation. It's a network." Voss's stomach turned as he realized the extent of the conspiracy. Solstice wasn't just a shadowy entity. It was woven into the very fabric of Blackridge. A desperate alliance. Later that night, Voss met with Lila Kane at a safe house on the outskirts of the city. She was still shaken by the invasion of her home, but her resolve had only hardened. "We're not dealing with a killer," Voss said as they reviewed the evidence. "We're dealing with a machine. A system designed to protect itself at all costs." "Then we dismantle it," Lila said, her eyes blazing. "Piece by piece." "It's not that simple," Voss replied. "Every move we make, they're watching. They're always one step ahead." "Then we need someone on the inside," Lila said. "Someone who knows how they operate." Voss hesitated, the thought forming reluctantly in his mind. "Elias Mercer. Turning the tables." The plan was risky, but it was their only option. Voss and Lila confronted Elias Mercer at his private estate, presenting him with evidence tying him to Solstice's operations. To their surprise, Mercer didn't deny his involvement. "You don't understand what you're dealing with," Mercer said, his voice weary. "Solstice isn't just a company. It's a belief, a way of controlling the chaos." "Spare me the philosophy," Voss snapped. "You're part of this, and you're going to help us take it down." Mercer laughed bitterly. "You think you can stop Solstice? Even if I wanted to help, I couldn't. They don't just own me, they own everyone." "Then give us something," Lila pressed. "A name, a location, anything." Mercer hesitated, then sighed. "There's a meeting tomorrow night. High-level executives. It's off the grid, but I can get you in. If you're caught, you're dead. The gathering." The meeting was held in a remote mansion on the outskirts of the city, its location shrouded in secrecy. Voss and Lila arrived posing as Mercer's associates, their identities concealed under forged credentials. The air inside the mansion was suffocating with power. Business magnates, politicians, and enforcers mingled under the guise of civility. Daniel Watson was there, standing like a sentinel near the back of the room. His pale eyes scanned the crowd, but he didn't notice Voss or Lila. The meeting began with a presentation, a detailed plan to expand Solstice's influence through a series of orchestrated events. The language was vague, but the intent was clear. More deaths, more control. As Voss listened, he noticed a subtle shift in the room's energy. Whispers spread like wildfire, and all eyes turned toward Daniel. "What's happening?" Lila whispered. "They're turning on him," Voss realized. "He's not just their enforcer anymore. He's a liability. Betrayal." The meeting erupted into chaos as one of the executives accused Daniel of drawing too much attention to their operations. Daniel's calm demeanor cracked, and for the first time, Voss saw a flicker of vulnerability in his eyes. "You think I'm the problem?" Daniel hissed, his voice rising. "You've been hiding behind me, letting me do your dirty work. But you're just as complicit." The argument escalated, and before anyone could react, Daniel pulled a knife and plunged it into the chest of the executive who had challenged him. The room descended into panic as Daniel turned to the others, his pale eyes blazing with fury. "You think you can control me?" he shouted. "I am Solstice. The escape." In the chaos, Voss and Lila slipped out of the mansion, their cover intact, but their mission incomplete. Daniel had gone rogue, and the power vacuum within Solstice only made the situation more volatile. Back at the safe house, Voss reviewed the intel they had gathered. It wasn't enough to dismantle Solstice, but it was a start. "This isn't over," Lila said, her voice steady. "We hit them where it hurts. We expose everything." Voss nodded, but his mind was elsewhere. Daniel Watson was still out there, and as long as he was, the game was far from over. Chapter 8, The Hunter's Shadow. The tension in the air was palpable as Detective Gabriel Voss and Lila Kane regrouped at the precinct's war room. The events of the Solstice meeting had shifted the balance. Daniel Watson was no longer a mere enforcer. He was a rogue element, and his break from Solstice had thrown the shadowy organization into disarray. But chaos was dangerous. Daniel's actions had sparked a firestorm, and now, both Solstice and the police were hunting him. The question that haunted Voss was simple yet chilling. What happens when a killer with nothing to lose is backed into a corner? The codebreaker. Shaw entered the room, her face pale but determined. She'd been working tirelessly despite her recent ordeal. In her hands was a folder filled with encrypted files recovered from the Solstice meeting. "Tell me you cracked it," Voss said, his voice taut with urgency. Shaw nodded. "Part of it. These files are a roadmap, locations, dates, transactions. They're coordinating something big, Gabe. I don't think the murders were just about control. They were about clearing the board for whatever's coming next." Lila leaned over the table, scanning the decrypted files. "Look at this," she said, pointing to a series of dates. "Every transaction is followed by a corresponding death. Solstice isn't just reacting to the murders. They're funding them." Shaw tapped a specific entry. "This one's different. It's a massive payout scheduled for next week, tied to a high-profile charity gala. The recipient is listed as benefactor." Voss's eyes narrowed. "The gala is a cover. Whatever they're planning, it's happening there. A dangerous lead." As they prepared to intercept Solstice's next move, Voss's phone buzzed with another text message. It was from an unknown number, but the message was unmistakably from Daniel. "You think you understand the game, but you don't even know the rules. Meet me where it all began." Voss's heart pounded. He knew where Daniel was leading him, Blackridge Children's Home, the orphanage where Daniel had spent his childhood. It was a trap, but it was also an opportunity. "I have to go," Voss said, grabbing his coat. "That's suicide," Lila protested. "You're walking right into his hands." "Maybe," Voss replied. "But if he wants to talk, I'll listen. We don't have another chance like this." The orphanage revisited. The orphanage was even more desolate than Voss remembered. The air was thick with the stench of decay, and the walls seemed to close in as he moved through the darkened halls. He found Daniel waiting in the same room where the altar had been discovered, his pale eyes glowing with an unsettling intensity. "You came alone," Daniel said, his voice eerily calm. "I didn't think you'd be that foolish." "I'm here for answers," Voss said, his gun trained on Daniel. "Why the murders? Why the riddles? Why me?" Daniel smirked, leaning against the altar. "Because you're the only one who cares. Solstice thrives because people like you are rare. Most people look away, pretend they don't see the rot. But not you. That makes you dangerous." "Stop speaking in riddles," Voss snapped. "What does Solstice want?" "Power," Daniel said simply. "Control. But they underestimated me. I wasn't just their enforcer, I was their insurance. And now I'm their reckoning." "What does that mean?" Voss demanded. "It means," Daniel said, stepping closer, "that the gala isn't just a cover. It's the culmination of everything they've built. And I'm going to burn it to the ground. A fractured alliance." Before Voss could press further, a noise outside the room caught his attention. The sound of boots crunching on broken glass. He turned, his gun ready, but Daniel grabbed his arm. "They're here," Daniel whispered. "Solstice sent their cleanup crew." A barrage of gunfire tore through the room as masked operatives stormed the orphanage. Voss and Daniel dove for cover, their uneasy alliance tested by the chaos. "You brought them here," Daniel shouted over the gunfire. "They were already watching," Voss retorted. "This is what happens when you go rogue. The escape." The two men fought their way through the orphanage, their shared enemy forcing them into an uneasy partnership. Voss's police training and Daniel's ruthlessness made them a formidable pair, but the Solstice operatives were relentless. By the time they escaped into the night, both men were bloodied and breathless. Daniel disappeared into the shadows, leaving Voss alone with a chilling final warning. "If you want to stop them, be ready to lose everything. The gala's secrets." Back at the precinct, Shaw and Lila had uncovered more about the upcoming gala. Hosted by one of Solstice's front organizations, it was billed as a charity event for the city's elite. But the files revealed a darker purpose. The gathering was a meeting of Solstice's most powerful members, a place where plans would be finalized and threats eliminated. "This is it," Lila said. "If we can expose them here, we can bring them down. And if we don't?" Shaw asked. "Then they disappear," Voss said grimly. "And we lose everything. A race against time." The countdown to the gala began. Voss, Shaw, and Lila prepared their plan, knowing it was their last chance to stop Solstice and Daniel's twisted endgame. The stakes had never been higher, and the shadows had never been darker. But as Voss stared at the evidence before him, one question loomed larger than the rest. Was Daniel their ally, or their greatest threat? Chapter 9, The Final Gambit. The night of the gala arrived like a storm on the horizon, inevitable, ominous, and full of peril. The opulent Blackridge Grand Hotel, its gilded halls draped in crystal chandeliers and fine silk, played host to the city's elite. Beneath the surface of champagne toasts and polite laughter, a sinister plot was unfolding, orchestrated by Solstice Holdings. For Detective Gabriel Voss and his fractured team, this was their moment to strike. The plan. In a secluded room of a nondescript safe house, Voss, Shaw, and Lila Kane reviewed their final strategy. The gala was the heart of Solstice's operation, a convergence of its key players under the guise of charity and philanthropy. Their goal was twofold: infiltrate the event and gather irrefutable evidence of Solstice's crimes, while simultaneously identifying and neutralizing any immediate threats. "We've got one shot at this," Voss said, his voice low but firm. "If we're caught, Solstice will bury us before we can get a word out." Shaw adjusted the wire hidden beneath her dress. "Then let's make sure we don't get caught." "And Daniel?" Lila asked. "If he's there, we deal with him," Voss interrupted. No hesitation. The infiltration. The team arrived at the gala separately, each slipping past the stringent security under carefully crafted covers. Voss, dressed in a tailored suit, moved among the city's elite with practiced ease, his eyes scanning the room for familiar faces. Lila worked the crowd as a glamorous attendee, her sharp instincts picking up fragments of whispered conversations. Shaw, meanwhile, posed as an event staffer, using her position to access restricted areas. The room was a glittering spectacle of wealth and influence. But beneath the polished veneer, the air was thick with tension. Voss spotted Elias Mercer in deep conversation with a man he recognized from the Solstice files, a shadowy figure known only as the Benefactor. "They're here," Voss murmured into his hidden mic. "Everyone we need to take down is under this roof." "Keep an eye on Mercer," Shaw replied from her position near the security offices. "He'll lead us to what we need." The revelation. As the night unfolded, Voss's focus was drawn to a side room where Mercer disappeared with several other Solstice executives. Using the crowd as cover, Voss slipped into the corridor, following the group to a hidden meeting room. From his vantage point, he listened as Mercer addressed the group. "Tonight marks a turning point," Mercer said, his voice filled with self-assured gravitas. "Our operations have faced scrutiny, but the chaos Daniel has created has worked in our favor. The city is distracted, the police are scrambling, and we are in complete control." Voss's stomach churned. Mercer wasn't just complicit. He was the architect of Blackridge's decay. But the conversation took a darker turn when one of the executives spoke. "What about Daniel? He's a loose cannon. If he shows up tonight..." Mercer cut him off. "Daniel Watson is no longer our concern. He'll meet the same fate as anyone who threatens Solstice." Voss's blood ran cold. Mercer wasn't just abandoning Daniel. He was planning to eliminate him. The chaos unleashed. Before Voss could retreat, the sound of gunfire erupted from the main hall. Screams filled the air as chaos consumed the gala. Voss sprinted toward the commotion, his heart pounding. In the center of the room stood Daniel Watson, a figure of vengeance and fury. He held a gun in one hand and a makeshift explosive device in the other. His pale eyes scanned the crowd with unnerving intensity. "This is your reckoning," Daniel shouted, his voice cutting through the panic. "You think you can control me? You think you can control this city? Tonight, we all burn." "Daniel, stop," Voss yelled, stepping forward. "You don't have to do this." Daniel's eyes locked on Voss, a flicker of recognition softening his expression. "You think you can stop them, detective? They'll kill you before you even leave this room." "Maybe," Voss said, his voice steady. "But this isn't the way." Daniel hesitated, the weight of his rage and despair visibly warring within him. But before he could respond, a shot rang out. Daniel staggered, clutching his side, as Mercer stepped forward with a gun raised. "You were always a liability," Mercer said coldly, aiming for a kill shot. The turning point. In a split-second decision, Voss fired, hitting Mercer in the shoulder and sending him crashing to the ground. The room descended into chaos once more as Solstice's security forces stormed in, weapons drawn. Voss rushed to Daniel, who was bleeding but still conscious. "It's over, Daniel," Voss said, pulling him to his feet. "You have to trust me." Daniel nodded weakly, his earlier defiance replaced by a weary resignation. Together, they fought their way through the melee, taking down Solstice operatives and exposing the rot at the heart of the organization. The evidence. With Shaw's help, Voss uploaded the files they had gathered to a secure server, ensuring Solstice's crimes would be exposed to the world. The evidence included recordings from the gala, financial records, and witness testimony, all tying Solstice to a decades-long conspiracy of corruption and murder. As the first police units arrived, the tide began to turn. Solstice's hold on Blackridge was breaking, and its leaders were finally facing justice. A Pyrrhic victory. In the aftermath of the gala, Voss stood outside the ruined venue, watching as Mercer and other Solstice executives were loaded into police vans. Lila approached him, her expression somber. "We did it," she said. "But at what cost?" Voss didn't respond. His gaze drifted to the ambulance where Daniel Watson was being treated. Despite everything, Daniel had helped bring Solstice down. But his path of destruction had left scars that would never fully heal. "You coming?" Shaw asked, placing a hand on Voss's shoulder. "In a minute," he replied, his voice heavy with exhaustion. As the sirens faded into the night, Voss lit a cigarette and stared into the distance. The battle was over, but the shadows of Solstice would linger. Blackridge had won its freedom, but the cost had been steep. And for Voss, the line between hero and villain had never felt thinner. Chapter 10, The Long Shadow. The morning after the gala was eerily quiet in Blackridge, as if the city itself held its breath in the wake of Solstice's downfall. The once imposing shadow of the corporation had been shattered, its leaders arrested, its secrets exposed. but for Detective Gabriel Voss, the victory felt hollow. The cost had been far greater than he'd imagined, and the lingering darkness weighed heavily on him. A city in transition. The precinct was a storm of activity, with officers processing evidence, interviewing witnesses, and dealing with the fallout from the gala. Shaw sat at her desk, her fingers flying across her keyboard as she compiled the final report. "Mercer's already lawyering up," she said without looking up. "But with the evidence we've got, there's no way he's walking out of this." Voss nodded, but his mind was elsewhere. His thoughts drifted to Daniel Watson, who was recovering under heavy guard at Blackridge General Hospital. Despite everything Daniel had done, he had ultimately helped bring down Solstice. That didn't erase his crimes, but it complicated how Voss felt about him. "Gabe," Shaw said, pulling him from his thoughts. "You should feel good about this. Solstice is finished." "Yeah," Voss said quietly. "But what comes next?" "The reckoning." At the hospital, Voss found Daniel sitting in his bed, pale and gaunt but alert. The room was heavily guarded, but Daniel's expression was calm, almost resigned. "You came," Daniel said, his voice hoarse. "I need answers," Voss replied, pulling up a chair. "Why did you help us in the end? You could have killed everyone at that gala." Daniel looked away, his pale eyes distant. "Because I realized something. Solstice didn't just make me a weapon. They made me a reflection of them. I thought I was fighting for freedom, but I was just feeding their machine. Then why all the murders? The riddles? The chaos?" Voss demanded. Daniel met his gaze, unflinching. "Because I wanted them to feel fear. The same fear they inflicted on the city, on me. But you showed me there's another way. It's messy and slow, but it's better than being a monster. Loose ends." Back at the precinct, Lila Kane sat with a reporter from the Blackridge Gazette, handing over files and sharing her part in the investigation. The media storm around Solstice's collapse was already growing, and Lila was determined to ensure the truth reached the public. "You're a hero, you know," the reporter said, scribbling notes. Lila shook her head. "There are no heroes in this story. Just survivors." Meanwhile, Shaw approached Voss with a grim expression. "We've got a problem," she said, dropping a file onto his desk. "Some of Solstice's key players are missing. Their names aren't on any arrest records, and we can't find them." Voss flipped through the file, his jaw tightening. "You're saying they're still out there?" "Not all of them," Shaw said. "But enough to rebuild if they want to." Voss leaned back in his chair, the weight of the realization settling over him. Solstice wasn't just a corporation, it was an ideology. And ideologies didn't die easily. The fallout. In the days that followed, Blackridge began to rebuild. The exposure of Solstice's crimes led to sweeping reforms, the arrests of corrupt officials, and a renewed sense of hope in the city. But for Voss, the scars of the case lingered. He visited Sarah Greaves's grave, standing silently as the wind rustled the trees. Her relentless pursuit of the truth had set everything in motion, but it had also cost her life. Voss placed a single flower on her headstone and whispered, "We did it, Sarah. We brought them down. A final encounter." Weeks later, Voss received a letter with no return address. Inside was a single playing card, the Ace of Spades. Scrawled across it was a simple message: "The game never truly ends." Voss stared at the card, his mind racing. Was it a threat? A warning? Or something else entirely? He couldn't be sure. But one thing was clear. The shadows of Solstice still lingered, and there were battles yet to be fought. As he slipped the card into his desk drawer, Voss allowed himself a faint smile. The fight wasn't over, but he was ready. The end.